This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone, you're at the table with Barry and Mariana. Got a couple of horse names coming through, Barry.
Yeah, my horse that needs a name. A horse with no name. A few suggestions there. Ozzy Bergen was one. Lightner Doubles was another. Lightner Double. I wonder how many of our listeners know what a Lightner Double is, Mariana.
I have no idea. Oh, there's an article just recently, hasn't there been? Tell me about that. You would have been there, done that.
So you were reading about the Interprovincials, Mariana, just held a couple of weeks ago. There was a hand there where the team that I was non-playing captain of, the opponents got to seven spades. Mm-hmm. And out of nowhere, after not bidding through the whole way up to contract, comes a double. You know, it's been quite common over the years. A guy called Theodore Lightner, and I don't know how many years ago he'd lived, but it wasn't this century. He probably wasn't born in the last one either. He invented this double, which says that if you double like that out of nowhere, it says, I can rough something. If you can find the right opening lead, I can rough it. It's not usually a normal, what would sort of normally would be a normal sort of a lead. It's like an unusual sort of a lead. It's often the first suit bid by dummy.
Right.
Not, not something you would normally lead. So if you've got nothing else to go on, maybe the first suit bid by dummy is what you lead. On this particular hand, our person on lead heard this auction where he went two clubs on their left. So that's a strong bid. And of course, clubs isn't really a suit. And then it went two spades on their right. A hand on their left asked partner how many aces they had and then bid seven spades. You're sitting there minding your own business. It goes around to partner and partner doubles and says, if you find the right lead, we can beat this. I can rough something. So the first rule is that you don't lead a trump, Mariana.
Okay.
You're often grand slam. Sometimes you might lead a trump just so you don't give anything away.
Yep.
You're not looking to set up a trick or anything, are you, on the opening lead? Because just one trick will beat it. So it's often right to lead a trump. But when partner says double, trumps are off the table for an opening lead. Partner's saying, lead something else and I can rough it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, South was sitting there with one spade, four hearts, two diamonds and six clubs. So if you were trying to guess what suit it is that partner might be void in, I guess you'd go for clubs, wouldn't you?
Being the longer suit, I guess so.
Not more. You could even argue that the first suit bid by dummy was clubs, even though it was two clubs, not showing clubs. So unfortunately, when they led, down and dummy goes the seven card heart suit in a singleton club, singleton ace of clubs or something. So by now, you probably know what you should have led.
Okay.
Anyways, a double grand slam made. Whereas at the other table, they had a similar sort of auction. But this time, the hand with hearts had actually bid them at some point. And when they got to seven spades double, they reckon they were pretty sure what the lead was going to be that was going to beat their grand slam.
Yeah.
So they bid seven no trumps.
And
seven no trumps could not be beaten, I don't think. So they made seven no trumps, undoubled, and they lost some imps. But not as many as they would have lost if they'd have stayed in seven spades and got Hartley.
Wow, that's good.
So the Lightner Double certainly adds a bit of excitement. I remember reading somewhere, it was some expert commenting, that he wasn't too sure that the Lightner Double had returned a profit over the years.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always lead the right thing. They don't know which suit to lead. Other times, they run to seven no trumps, whereas if you'd have passed, partner might have led a heart anyway. And so it's just hard to know whether it's the right thing to do. I will remember, Mariana, I was in the last round of this event, and I got to think it was a grand slam. It was certainly a slam at least, and I had a double, which was pretty clearly Lightner, what we call a Lightner double, saying, I can rough something if you lead the right thing.
Does it actually always promise a void?
Yes. Well, I mean, I guess if you're sitting there with the ace of trumps, you could just double anyway if they had a stuff up. But then it really doesn't matter what you lead in those sort of situations. If you think it's definitely going down, you could just double anyway. But it's usually looking for an unusual lead saying I can rough something. Anyway, so this one I was in, I got to this slam and it got doubled. And it came round to me and I could have pulled it to six no trumps, which makes. But on the other hand, if they don't find the right lead, that was enough for our team to win the event.
Right.
If I had a known, would you bid six no trumps, which wasn't going to win the event for you, but would have got you second or third, or you could pass and hope they find the wrong lead? I decided to pass, and the person on lead had to pick which suit their partner might be void in. And it was a sort of a similar sort of auction where it had gone two clubs, two diamonds, blah, 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 you know, and so there wasn't really a standout suit bid by dummy. The person on lead had 2 5-card suits, Mariana. And they couldn't tell
what a drama
which one their partner had. It was the last board of the event. I don't think she'll mind me saying. It was Cynthia Clayton from the Hamilton Club now, and she was on lead, and her husband Ian had doubled, and she's sitting there thinking, should I lead a club or should I lead a heart? She's agonising. I mean, she really hadn't taken much interest up to this point. Now she knows it's absolutely crucial that she finds the right lead. So she sat there and she said, this is the last board, isn't it? Yes, we said. She sat there again and looked at her 2 5-card suits and thought, should I lead a club or should I lead a heart? Anyway, after a lot of agonising, and she finally said, this is the last board? We said, yes. She sat there, looked at her 2 5-card suits, and finally she led a club. And that was actually the suit that her partner could rough. And her partner said afterwards, nice lead, partner. It was a sad story for me.
How did she make?
Look, really, it was a toss of a coin sort of a stuff. She did have some sort of reason. I think maybe she didn't have much in clubs and she decided that she would lead those. I'm not 100% sure just how it was, but she decided she had a 50-50 shot and she led the one that worked. Speaking of which, I thought I'd go along to the club on Thursday night. I haven't played much at the club lately. They're having summer bridge.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, well, so we're playing four boards a table. And during the first set, my partner bid to six spades. Anyway, the opposition cashed their two aces. To be fair, they did have three aces. We had a void in one of their suits. So only two of their aces were cashing. Yeah, they got their two aces. That was sad. Next board, we bid, they bid, we bid, they bid. They was one of those hands. They got up to four clubs and we doubled them.
Yeah.
Four clubs made and they got 730 or whatever they got.
Nice.
And I thought to myself, we've still got 26 boards to go. You ever played a session of bridge that started like that, Mariana, and you thought to yourself, perhaps I should have stayed home?
No. Well, I'll tell you what, I remember going down to Wyke and I and was playing with, he probably won't mind either, but I was playing with Hans. And first board, I stuck him into a slam. Boy, was he shaking. His hands were shaking, everything was shaking, the voice was shaking. And then when we moved, he goes, did I not tell you that I hate playing slam on the first hand? It just gives me grief and now I'll be crap for the rest of the session. But he wasn't. Then again, it's like, oh, do I, don't I, do I, don't I, on the very first hand. How often does that happen?
So what you're saying is, Mariana, that you believe that most players, they're like two or three boards just to warm up and get into the rhythm of things. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
That's what he likes.
First two or three, they're just a warm-up.
Okay, well, give me the end result of your Thursday night session. Where did those two horrible boards put you at the end of the night?
Actually, believe it or not, we didn't actually get a zero on one of them. Somebody else was in six spades as well. But the other one was a zero. And the pair that we were playing ended up getting 60%. So they came second.
Yep. And?
We got 67%, Mariana. So it just goes to show. Once we'd had those few warm-up boards, we were away.
The only way is up, isn't it?
Actually, when we got to the end of the night and they pushed the button that says what your percentage is, I said, oh, I don't know how this is going to pan out after the start we had. I was pretty surprised to see 67.
You always don't want to look. You're like, jeepers.
Can you remember how your session at Wyke and I ended up?
It wasn't bad. I can remember that. They stopped shaking once we got to the end of the session.
Any slam that you bid that goes down, whether it's the first board or the last board or one of the ones in the middle, it's probably still not going to be great.
But I still don't think enough people double. What's your opinion on that? I don't think enough people double contracts. And you always hear, oh, I should have doubled it. I was going to double it. But what, run out of kahunas?
I think, you know, people say, oh, they might have run somewhere else. You know, when the opponents have got to their final contract and they've settled there, if you double, it's pretty rare for them to run somewhere else.
You reckon?
It doesn't happen often, does it?
No.
You know, they've had a few bids. They decided this was the best spot. If you double, are they really going to decide, woo, Now's the time to start for looking for somewhere else to play.
I bet no one ever thinks about that, Barry. And you're right. Maybe people would if they thought, well, what are they going to do? Give it their best shot and do it. Well, let's try another one, which I didn't like as much as this one. Is that what you're saying?
I think the only time when you shouldn't double is when the opponent's bid to seven of a suit and you've got something like Jack 10, 9, 8 of that suit. I'd just shut my mouth and wait for my trick to come along. I don't want them bidding six no trumps, Mariana, or seven no trumps.
Right. Well, I agree with
but
that.
Look, sometimes I reckon it's best to follow your nose. If it looks like you should double, double the bloody thing. What's the worst can happen?
It's only one board.
And boy, it adds a bit of the excitement level goes up at the table. Everybody's blood pressure rises a couple of notches and it makes it an exciting board, doesn't it? Bring a little bit of excitement into your life. Live a bit, Mariana.
Yeah, I reckon.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
Hey, it's Judge Julie time.
Hi.
Hi.
Right, we've got a question. It's a bit tricky, really. Well, a bit dodgy, a bit shady, a bit, you know. And this is Mariana's question, not mine. That's why I'm asking
it. Oh, go on.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, so, you know, when you're dummy and your partner tries to play from the wrong hand, Julie.
Yep.
And you reckon they're deliberately trying to play from the wrong hand?
Illegal, but yeah, keep going.
I was going to say, should you try and stop them?
Well, dummy is allowed to try to prevent the clearer making an infraction. Dummy is allowed to say my hand or your hand or whatever the case may be when they're trying to lead out of turn. All yep. right? Okay. Now, if the clearer leads out of turn, the opponents can accept or not accept that as they want. And the best thing they can do is to call the director. So when someone leads out a turn from dummy or from the clearer's hand, generally I say you've led from the wrong hand. That doesn't mean that I have accepted it or not accepted it. It means I'm about to call the director because I want the director to come to the table while I make up my mind or my partner gets to know the choices. Because there's stuff here about what happens next. So when the clearer leads from the wrong hand, either defender can accept it or not accept it without consulting with each other. But the best thing they can do is say, basically, stop, I'm going to call the director and get a director's ruling. Now, if you have led from the wrong hand and someone says, I don't want to accept the lead, if there is any information about a card they may or may not hold, then there are things that can or cannot happen in that case. You will not get an advantage over someone calling the director and refusing to accept the lead. You're not allowed to suddenly decide with a two-way finesse which way you're going to take it because someone has said they'll accept the lead or that they won't accept the lead. And this is a ploy from a very long time ago that is not allowed and is absolutely not ethical. It is cheating. That is just appalling, okay?
Oh, strong words.
What about trying to lead from the wrong end when they know they're not there? How bad is that?
For a start, I mean, how do you know that they're trying to do it because they know? Hmm. A lot of us go a bit AWOL at times and lead from the wrong end because we think that's where we are. How do you know the difference?
When I learned how to play bridge, which was like back in the 80s, late 80s, my bridge teacher deliberately, she was playing a hand, I forget what, she was demonstrating something, and she deliberately tried to lead from the wrong hand to see if we would...
Yeah, well, that's a wee bit different. That's trying to teach somebody something, okay? Yeah. So if you deliberately lead from the wrong hand because you're trying to decide where the queen is, for example, and they don't accept it, so you decide to finish the other way, the director's not going to let you do that, all right? If you have a two-way finesse and you choose which way to take it because someone has not accepted the lead from the wrong hand, you are not allowed to get that advantage. The law of bridge, and Tony Forrester, many, many years ago, in the 70s, I think it was, wrote a really good article, a UK guy, about how the laws of bridge find you guilty until you are proven innocent. So nearly always the laws will penalise you for doing things that are wrong, but it doesn't matter whether you have decided to do something wrong or you haven't unintendedly done something wrong. The result is the same.
So if you've got these lovely diamonds and dummy and you just can't get there for love nor money, and you decide, what the hell, I'll just play one from dummy.
That is just really, really, it's coffee housing and it's appallingly bad. It is, I mean, it is beyond the pale. This is, I mean, it is just so wrong, okay? And it is not something in any form that would be tolerated by anyone. I remember years ago, Patrick, I went away for a smoke or something, so it was all my fault. A long time ago now. And Patrick was playing a hand, and he managed not to be in dummy when he needed to be. And that was not my fault when I got back. There was no issue of trying to lead from the wrong hand or do anything remotely like that. So to be really clear, bridge is a game where we're not allowed to bluff particularly. We can cite, but we're not really allowed to deliberately, we're not allowed to deliberately mislead our opponents without our partner being led down the garden path at the same time. We are not allowed to do things to gain an advantage by doing something that is not allowed, that is illegal, okay? And I do not have words strong enough for this.
Well, it's interesting. I can remember years ago playing against the very good player, and he said, dummy's good. And my partner said, how are you going to get there? And he said, oh, one off.
I mean, whether people do that deliberately or whether they're just doing because they know that the people they're playing will know, is it? I mean, there's sort of different things here. And if you read some of the books from way back when, where there weren't laws around this, it was done legitimately try and get an advantage because it wasn't banned by the laws, okay? Like taking someone out of play because they're in your way, so running interference. There's a lot of laws around that in rugby games and similar now, where you're yellow carded or red carded, depending on what you've done and what the result is, penalty tries, I don't know, because you have deliberately run interference when someone doesn't have the ball, right?
Be careful, Mariana. If you try playing from the wrong hand, she's going to red card you, I reckon. You'll get sent off.
Look, believe, seriously, if someone's doing this deliberately, they're not playing bridge for much longer, are they? Because that is so bad. And obviously you'll understand how strongly I feel about this.
Yeah.
Well, it's just as well that Judge Julie's only got 15 minutes this week.
Yeah, and that you're a long, long way away from me.
So if they do play from the wrong hand and the opposition actually play to the track, it's too late. Is that right?
It's too late. They've accepted the lead out of turn. The same as if you are a defender and you lead out of turn and declare a place from dummy. They've accepted all their hand. They've accepted the lead out of turn.
Yeah.
Don't try this at home, folks.
Not deliberately, no.
I guess that's where the dreaded tap tap when Clara goes to play from the hand and the dummy starts tapping on the table.
And don't do that either. If you're tapping the table to tell Clara that they're in the other hand, there are times where people will think that you are indicating a card. So please, dummy, don't put your hands on the table except to play the card Clara calls. Just wait and then play the card that they asked for.
And no hovering.
You don't have to tap the table. You just have to say, your hand, partner. You
know? And no hovering?
No,
no hovering. No hovering.
No, no hovering. Absolutely no hovering. You know?
Oh, well, so true. Often I don't really like it when people touch the cards either. You know, they do hover and then they're like, oh, I'm just playing.
The problem is dummy tends to know a bit more about what's happening. Declara's thinking of lots of things, including what should I do now? And dummy, who's been watching the cards or not, but they tend to have a better idea at times about what card's still good or something. And you can tell. And they're not allowed to do that.
Got that, Mariana? Judge Julie says dummy plays the cards better than Declara. That's what she said. I've got a question. I don't know whether Mariana's going to broadcast this or not. Is the Auckland Bridge Club going to carry on having online bridge over Christmas New Year, or do they have a break?
No, we're going to have some. We don't know exactly what it's going to be. I'd imagine by next Monday we'll have...
You have a better idea. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. And when are you looking at moving? Is that a done deal now?
No, well, I mean, they're still doing all the stuff around it, but it's been agreed at the AGM and the SGM that we are proceeding at the moment with to look at the sale and all the other things. There's a lot of water that's still got to go under that bridge. We have our normal program this week and next week. So there will be bridge online for the next 2 weeks through the Auckland Bridge Club because we don't finish our year till the 15th. All
Okay,
right.
quickly, before our time's up, I have one more thing. When you're
Yep.
playing on online bridge, on Real Bridge, can you not run like a normal Mitchell movement on Real Bridge? It always seems to be that thing where sometimes you can end up slaying the same pair two or three times.
You can run movements, but you've got to set up the movement. You can actually load on the config file a movement, what you are playing. I don't know, but I think generally it goes to a HAL movement for a full HAL for small numbers. We play Swiss all the time.
It seems to always be Swiss, but I wondered if
Yeah,
there
but
was.
that's only because we do that, okay?
Okay, so
And
you could.
because of the disparity of the field.
So the
So
answer to my question is you could play a Mitchell if you wanted
I
to,
would
or
think so,
how?
yeah.
Or how? Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for
Right.
your time, Judgy.
Don't lead out
Yeah. Got it.
See the sort of thing she gets up to as soon as she hits the South Island, Julie?
a
That's what's done it.
You don't hit the South Island. It's a nice place. It never misbehaved yet.
It's weird weather. It was cold all morning and come like
It's
half past
spring.
three, beautiful sun and hot.
Yeah, it's spring.
Spring.
It's been doing that all spring. It's been going all over the place. Nor it depends on what the prevailing wind. Northwest, hot, anything else, cold.
Yeah,
Anyway,
true.
okay,
Okay,
bye.
bye.
Okay, bye.
Hey, I got an email the other day,
Just one?
and yeah, this one's a special one. It was from Queensland Bridge. Would have got an email too, wouldn't you?
I did get all that email. I think I know what you're going to say.
Yes. So, following months of uncertainty, the Queensland Bridge Association is pleased to announce that the Gold Coast International Congress for 2025 will be held at the Gold Coast Convention and Exhibition Centre, 1st of Feb to the 8th of Feb, 25.
The Gold Coast Bridge Congress, which has for years been held at Broadbeach, it was announced that they were looking for a new venue, that they were no longer going to be able to play at the Gold Coast Convention Centre. Bit of a shock to read that the new venue is the old venue.
How about that? They maybe had some hot negotiation because it was touted that next year was going to be the last year it was going to be held there.
It was. I notice that's quite early, Mariana, the first week of February. It's not usually held that early. I'm not quite sure. Maybe that had something to do with it. They're
More
holding it at.
mid, isn't it?
They're holding
Mid-February.
that. Oh, no, it's usually towards the end of February.
Ah.
I think sometimes it might have even gone into March or close to March.
Really?
Yep, it's certainly well into the second half of February.
I'm just going to check
She
my
doesn't
tickets.
believe me, folks. She never believes me when I say something. She's Googling away on her phone there, looking it up.
Yeah,
She's thinking,
I've gone into my Air New Zealand app because I've already booked my flight.
what would
17th
he
of
know? She's
Feb to the
thinking.
25th of Feb.
Well, that's pretty much towards the end, isn't it?
Yeah, can't get much closer.
It's a leap year next year, Mariana.
Really?
It is.
I don't take notice of that kind of stuff.
I reckon we should make a rule that if it's a leap year, you should try and play bridge on the 29th of February, Mariana. What do you think? Would that be a good thing to do?
I guess. What would you call it? Maybe we could do an online tournament. Make it a vows tournament.
What day of the week is the 29th of February, Mariana? Have you had a look?
No? What is it?
I have no idea. Can you remember whether you played bridge in the last leap year?
No.
I'm sure you did, but whether you played on the last leap day, the 29th of February, is another question.
No, I don't know. I don't take notice of that. Hey, have you done your Christmas shopping?
Again, you've got to be kidding me. I haven't even thought about it. It's only the, what is it? It's the 4th of February or something today.
Fourth of December, not February.
We were talking about February, the 4th of December. No, there's weeks to go, Mariana. That's plenty of time to do your Christmas shopping. You know what day you should do your Christmas shopping, don't you?
Oh, you're not one of them, are you? You're not a 24th-er.
It's May 24th. There is no motivation like going shopping on the 24th of December for your Christmas presents.
Oh, you're hilarious.
Where are you going to be for Christmas this year, Mariana?
We are going to be at home this year.
In Hamilton.
Yep, it's the away year this year. So we have home and away. So it's the away. So they go sort of do the in-laws stuff this year, which is great. Next year's our big year. What about you?
We're going to Levin for Christmas this year.
Oh, way.
If there's any bridge players in Levin around Christmas time, you might see us wandering around.
Nice. Okay. Have you got a tip for me?
And I've got a tip for you. My tip is if your session starts really badly, just close your eyes, focus, and hope for a 67%.
You cross your fingers and your toes. It will get better. It's almost like take a couple of Caldrill solder-ons tablets.
Those Christmas tournaments are carrying on. The Rotorua Christmas tournament was held, 22 tables they had.
That's great.
So the winners were Liz and Michael Wilcox, brother and sister.
Yep.
Second were Richard Solomon and Joy Williams.
Nice.
Then there was third spot, there was Sam Simpson and Liz Fisher. And their other halves were Joe Simpson and Blair Fisher were fourth.
Right. Yes, they do that, don't they? They always have a little competition at that tournament.
G'day, it's Pete here. What are the most common signalling methods at a world championship level? So let's break it up into the three main things: partners lead, declarers lead, and discarding. So what is the most common signalling method on partners lead? With over half the field at the world championship, they are playing low encourage or high discourage. Low encourage is actually known by a few different names: reverse, low encourage, high discourage. You might even see UDCA written, UDCA, and that means that for this situation, they're playing that. So UDCA, reverse, low encourage, high discourage, these all mean the same thing. There's a good portion of the field that's actually playing high encourage. You might be saying, well, I play high encourage, should I bowler switching? Again, this isn't too big of a deal. Like, you can see that people are playing these different signaling methods at the highest level. These signaling methods work. You don't need to switch just because over half the world championship field plays it. But if you're working out which signaling method that you should be taking up, my top pick would be low encourage. It's very popular even at the highest levels.
And as usual, we'll catch up with the rest of that segment with Pete next week.
Any Christmas bridge for you this year, Mariana?
No, not at this stage.
Look, I did tell you that you need to go and play a session of bridge at Dunedin Bridge Club while you're down there.
Yeah, I might be able to do it this week. I couldn't do it last week.
Oh, you have to do it. We want a full report on the Dunedin Bridge Club, how they treated you, how it went, what score you got.
Right. I think that's all we've got time for, Barry, this week.
There's 3 weeks to Christmas.
You should try and get your shopping done a little bit earlier, Barry.
It's fun going out on Christmas Eve. There's lots of people out and about, people rushing around trying to buy those last-minute presents. Nothing like shopping on Christmas Eve, Mariana.
I bet you only buy one or two.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Hey, I'll catch you next week, hey?
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.